Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
An important deadline is coming up for many farmers. Let's learn more about it and go in depth with Steve Johnson, Farm Management Specialist at the Iowa State University Extension Service. Steve, it's a tough time for farmers across the Midwest, isn't it?
Well, especially those affected by the drought. Again, this was a flash drought, so the fact that not all farms were treated equally, and especially those that have shallow soils. They have sandy soils, clay, hard pans. They weren't able to plant in a timely fashion in April or May. That's where the crops were definitely affected. So I think the flash drought of 2017, probably the Dakotas, parts of northeast Nebraska, northwest Iowa, but especially south central, southeast Iowa is kind of ground zero for the flash drought that we've witnessed the last few weeks.
Well, I was thinking it was bad in Marion County, and then I went driving in Lucas and Monroe County, and it's just worse there. It's just really bad.
Yeah, and a lot of this is how the glaciers left us 10 million years ago. I don't think your listeners think about that, but, you know, when the glaciers stopped at the state capitol and the state fairgrounds and kind of pushed a lot of debris out ahead, and it scraped a lot of the soil away in advance. And that's why we have these rolling hills. We've got a lot more grass and trees in southern Iowa. Well, that was intentional because that we don't have those soils that are 10 feet deep like they do in north central or northwest Iowa. So when the rain stopped in June, and those roots went down to 3, 4, 5 feet, there was nothing below. And so that's why the crops look so much better when you get north of 92 than when you get south of Highway 92.
Wow. Well, and I was talking to a farmer the other day, and it's almost like it's so late for rain. It's almost in their best interest for there not to be any and just collect the insurance. Is he right on? Or
it depends. If you're driven by money, that's probably true. But you always want rain to start to replenish the subsoil for the next crop year. I think because we have crop insurance, because 90% of all of our 23 million acres are insured, I think farmers are saying, well, I'm not going to make any money, so at least I can collect crop insurance. But, you know, it's just like your house burning down. You don't really want your house burning down. But if it burns halfway down, it's like, you know, I'd probably be better off that everything was destroyed, and then I could kind of start over. But the beans will be helped. Again, the cooler temperatures the last 2 weeks, I think we're going to be surprised that, you know, we're going to have these cornfields that are probably going to be 150 to 190 bushel an acre, but that's because the roots got deep down into the soil profile. And the beans probably is what is going to do best. Again, the beans like a little stress in July, and surprisingly, the beans have the ability to branch out those roots to get deeper, to move sideways. And, you know, I think we'll have below average yields, but, you know, it's the combination of low yields and low prices. That's what is not helping with the net farm income for 2017. And then we have this issue of, oh, what about cash rents? If I don't do something, I'm going to pay the same cash rent in 2018 as I'm going to pay in 2017. That's the Iowa Farm Lease Law.
The deadline is coming up on, what, September 1st?
September 1st is the deadline. And again, it doesn't mean you have to terminate your lease. But legally, if you're going to make any changes for 2018, it's best you do it now and put it in writing. Or either party, the landlord or the tenant operator, can simply terminate the lease, but that termination must be in writing and primarily sent certified mail. So the issue of, does a tenant operator want to pay the same cash rent that they paid in 17? Because in all likelihood, if they do nothing in the next 13 days, that's exactly what they said. They told their landlord, yep, whatever I said in 17, that's what I'm going to do in 18. And again, this was a change in the Iowa lease law that took place just a year ago. A farm lease is a binding contract, regardless of the number of acres, regardless of whether it's in writing or not. And you need to terminate that lease on or before September 1st for Iowa farmland. That includes pasture, that includes hay, and that deadline is coming up in a hurry.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about cash rents with Steve Johnson, farm management specialist at the Iowa State University Extension Service. I'm wondering how farmers are thinking about this in the sense that looks like they're not going to make any money this year. Why would they want to pay the same thing next year for what they leased this year?
Well, the primary reason is because a typical farmer doesn't want to lose farm ground. By keeping that farm ground, they can reduce their cost of machinery and equipment on a per-acre basis. It's much more efficient if they can farm that extra 80 or 120 or 160 acres. So it becomes a standoff is, are you willing to accept the same lease arrangement? And most farmers are like, no, I want to negotiate a lower cash rent. Cash rents are too high. Well, you best do that negotiation on or before September 1st or terminate the lease. Or that landlord has the right to collect the same amount of rent that they got in 2017, in 2018. So I think we're going to see some farm financial pressures. I think the pressures will be especially great in southern Iowa. I think you'll see a lot of farmers that can't get financing for 2018. And if that's one of your listeners, you best terminate your lease or your landlord is going to be coming after you saying, how come you didn't pay me my 2018 cash rent? So, yeah, I think the farm financial pressures will be greater in southern Iowa than any part of Iowa this next fall and winter. And as the lenders weigh in saying, I'm not interested in financing your operation, you've been losing money for 4 or 5 years, then I think this lease negotiation is something that needs to be recognized now in August.
Well, and from the landlord's perspective, they're thinking, well, this was an aberration. We don't know what next year is going to bring. Why should I lower my cash rents?
I don't disagree. The problem is that we're using fixed cash rents, and we're setting those cash rents a year in advance. And that's part of the problem, Bob, is that, you know, this whole idea of negotiating a cash rent, you know, 12 to 14 months before we ever harvest a crop is kind of crazy. And I've been a big proponent of flex leases, but those haven't gained a lot of traction because they have lower base rental rates that are committed by the tenant operators. To be quite honest, I think that we probably won't see a lot lower cash rents in Iowa in 2018. It's because there's too much demand. You know, if that tenant operator says, I can't pay you, can't squeeze blood out of a turnip, that landlord's going to go find somebody else to rent the land. And trust me, even in southern Iowa, there's probably 4 to 8 other farmers that are interested in renting more farmland. So the issue of what is a fair cash rent, it's a market value. It's not necessarily a value that says that my tenant operator is going to make money, and that's a part of this concern that a lot of tenant operators have. My landlord needs to lower my cash rent so I can make some money. But you start to notice that your fertilizer dealer, your seed dealer, your crop insurance agent, we haven't seen a wholesale decline in costs. In Iowa, costs have fallen roughly 15 to 20% in the last 5 years, and that's been led by cash rents. Cash rents, on average, are about 20% lower than they were, so cash rents have already fallen 4 straight years. The question that I have is, are cash rents wholesale coming down for 2018? I personally doubt that unless you've got a relationship with your landlord. Maybe you're doing some other things. You know, you're tearing down the old farmhouse, you're spraying weeds, you know, you're repairing grass waterways, maybe cover crops on some of the you know, erodible side hills. I think the relationship you have with landlords is probably more important now than any time since you rented that farmland.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about cash rents with Steve Johnson, farm management specialist at the Iowa State University Extension Service. Is it the same situation for pasture and hay ground as it is for row crop rent? Is it pretty much the same, everybody concerned, once it lowered?
Well, the rents are lower for pasture, of course, than they would be for tillable acres used for corn or soybeans. And the rents on hay ground would be lower than those rents for those tillable acres. But the lease law is the same, the September 1st notification. Again, the profitable sector of agriculture right now is the livestock. And we've seen an increase in exports of both beef, about 11% up year to date. Pork exports are up 6%. So the livestock industry is still profitable, especially with these cheap corn, cheap bean meal. So the good news is the livestock industry pretty much has remained profitable, even though we've seen a lot of pressure on crop margins. So I think it's probably the livestock industry supported, but when you run out of pasture in July and you need to start feeding hay, I think that's where you're going to see the financial issues play out even in the livestock sector. They're probably not going to make a lot of money in 2017. So where we see the flash drought, crop insurance is going to be important, working with your agent, making sure you know how crop insurance works, measuring your grain bins before you ever put new crop bushels on top of old crop bushels. But financial pressure is building, especially in South Central, Southeast crop reporting districts, where they were affected by the extremely dry July and August.
Let's say somebody that wants to lease the land and the landowner sit down. How do you think it's best for them to proceed? Let's just say they're sitting down over coffee, kitchen table, or you're talking on the phone. How does this best go out? Do you have any advice?
Yeah, I think they both need to listen carefully to what the needs and issues are of the other party. Oftentimes, these are relationships with other family members that occurred 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And the fact that, you know, these same family members might not be at that table. So identifying what are the five priorities. And this is true of tenant operators. Many tenant operators have never done this. You know, we just farmed their land. We rented their land for 55 years. But what are their needs? It might not be the almighty dollar, to be quite honest. I think most landowners know that that land breaks pretty hard south of Interstate 80, and there's some good soils, but there's not whole fields with good soils. So what might be some ways to put in grass waterways, a buffer strip? How would terraces work? How do we maintain those weeds? Those tenant operators need to be listening to that, and then they need to share that information back that annually they're spraying weeds. You know, they're making sure that they're not farming up and down, you know, the grass waterways, that they're repairing, pulling trees. You've got all sorts of problems with, cedar trees that grow up in pastures. I think those landowners need to recognize that they've got a million or multi-million dollar asset, and the tenant operators need to listen to more than just how much do you want for cash rent. So it's kind of a win-win situation, but the fact is that tenant operators and landowners need to meet 4 to 6 times a year face-to-face, and not just in August to negotiate a lease, or not just in March to collect that first half or first third cash rent. It's an ongoing dialogue, the importance of communication, in addition to the fact that there needs to be some trust built between the tenant and the landowner. It's that relationship that allows you to renegotiate cash rent when you were just affected by extremely dry conditions and maybe adjusting those rents yet for 2017, not collecting that last $20 or $30 per acre, or maybe not charging that extra $20, $30 per acre in 2018, that can still be agreed upon. Even though the document that you both sign says the cash rent's $150 an acre, that landlord can say, no, I'm only going to charge you $120 for 2017 because I know you're not making any money on my farm ground.
And everyone needs to get this locked in by September 1st.
Well, if you can't, you know, I can see, you know, procrastination, then one of you terminate. I mean, I'm a big proponent of just terminating the lease, coming back in the fall with a cool head, you know, maybe in January, say, you know, I want you on my farm, but, you know, let's talk about what is it that, you know, you want besides a lower cash rent amount. And that's where I think we need to recognize the needs of the other party. We haven't done a good job of that. And when those high crop prices came in 10, 11, 12, and 13, we probably rushed to, you know, make sure that we were securing the land and didn't pay as much attention to cash rent. And now we've had four and almost five consecutive years. Crop prices, corn prices have dropped 45% in that time frame, and soybean prices over 35%. So I think it's time to come back and negotiate these leases, and maybe more than 1 year. There's the problem, Bobby. You know, most all our leases in Iowa are year to year unless terminated in writing. And maybe we can come up with some innovative ways like flexible cash leases or putting in the lease what other types of things that tenant operator is going to do other than just farm my land. Help me maintain this asset. Let's make sure we leave this farm ground better than we found it by building organic matter and soil health and especially controlling soil erosion in these rolling hillsides that we see in southern Iowa.
Thanks to Steve Johnson for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.